Thank you, Stephen. Last minute, Stephen was asked to do worship tonight, so please pray for Johnny as he is sick tonight. So please pray for him. You did an amazing job, Stephen. Thank you. I was blessed by that time of worship. Thank you so much. Has everyone got a Bible? Everyone got a Bible? Did anyone need a Bible? Yeah? Okay, here's a couple hands. Oh, she's getting a couple. Okay, Holly, maybe you can help too. Get a Bibles for those that need it. All right, it's great to be here on a midweek service. I always like coming on a midweek. For me, it's my week sometimes starts going astray, and midweek always kind of draws me back in, so it's amazing.
All right.
Everyone got a Bible now. Great. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 30 and 31 tonight. Now, I've really enjoyed going through Exodus. And I tell you, I would love even later to spend a whole lot more time to learn more. There's so much depth in the book of Exodus. And I'm really enjoying it, going chapter by chapter through Exodus. I want to thank Johnny for teaching Exodus 29. He did a really good job. It was a great reminder as we studied that chapter of what Jesus has done for us. As we saw before Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection, an offering had to take place each and every day in the form of the animal sacrifice as a covering for our sin. But today we know, as he shared through Jesus Christ and his crucifixion and his resurrection, that we have the new covenant. And Jesus had given himself now for, in the place of us, for our sacrifice once and for all for our sins. I also saw a really important lesson, I believe, in Exodus 29, that those who do serve God, all of us, we are set apart and we are also anointed for that special purpose. Look at Exodus 29:44. It says, "Yes, I will consecrate the tabernacle, the altar. I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests." I saw the tabernacle, the altar, and the priests were consecrated by God and set apart, but we know all of this was done very, very, very specifically to know, so all could know that God is the Lord and the God to all. So we're going to pick up today in chapter 30, and we're going to look at the plans for the incense altar, and we're going to go through chapters 30 and 31 today. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Lord, as we're all just kind of settling down now, as we've been singing worship to you, Lord, as we have now just taken this time, Lord, to sit and just to be in your word. Lord, I just pray right now your spirit would just be poured out on this teaching, Lord, that we would all learn something more about you and us and who we're to be. And Lord, your Holy Spirit would just minister to each one of us, Lord. You just wash us with your word. And Lord, you would also just remove any distractions that may be in our hearts or our minds, Lord. And we would just sit right now, Lord, and just sit at your feet and just be just ministered to by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit, Lord, would just speak now, Lord. Any words I have written or come up with, Lord, would be yours. And you would just use this time, Lord, just to minister to your children. And all God's people said, amen. So we are going to go through two chapters in Exodus today, which I'm excited. That is a lot of reading, but we'll get through it. So Exodus chapter 30, let's begin with the first 10 verses. "Then make another altar of acacia wood for burning incense. Make it 18 inches square and 36 inches high, with horns at the corners carved from the same piece of wood as the altar itself. Overlay the top, sides, and horns of the altar with pure gold, and run a gold molding around the entire altar. Make two gold rings and attach them to the opposite sides of the altar below the gold molding to hold the carrying poles. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Place the incense altar just outside the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant, in front of the Ark's cover. The place of atonement that covers the tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant. I will meet you there. Every morning, When Aaron maintains the lamps, he must burn fragrant incense on the altar. And each evening when the lamps, he must again burn incense in the Lord's presence. This must be done from generation to generation. Do not offer any unholy incense on this altar, or any burnt offerings, grain offering, or liquid offerings. Once a year, Aaron must purify the altar by smearing its horns with blood from the offering made to purify the people from their sin. This will be a regular annual event from generation to generation, for this is the Lord's most holy altar. So as we begin in Exodus chapter 30, we learn about this incense altar. And we see as it also had poles and was carried by the poles that were inserted through the rings. It's very similar, you could say, to the design of the Ark of the Covenant or the Table of the Showbread and the Altar of Burnt Offering. But we also learn where this altar is to be placed. It's placed just outside of the holies of holies, outside the veil, what is called the holy place. Remember, there's two rooms in there, and this is in the holy place, outside of the holies of holies. We know there is a separation between this altar and the Ark of the Covenant. There's a separation with the curtain, as we remember learning in the weeks past. This was all part of the tabernacle. And again, we remember the purpose of the tabernacle. The purpose was, it was a place for the people of God, for man to come and commune with God, to worship God, and he would be there present. So now we see these instructions were given, and they were given that daily they were to burn incense in the morning and then in the evening. And as we look at this incense, I have a picture here. There's a picture of incense. Let's look at the altar. So you can see this is what it may have looked like. And you see the smoke that would be come up as they would burn the incense. And we know that very commonly we see actually in Scripture that this is a picture of prayer. As the smoke and the smell would ascend upwards, it's a picture of our own prayers as a sweet aroma that would go up to the Lord. We see this mentioned actually in Revelation. And it's a correlation between the smoke and the prayers ascending to God. Now, there were very specific instruction that this incense that would be burned, but you've seen a picture of it, would be holy. Not just any incense or would be allowed, only as per these instructions. Also, there was not other things to be offered on this altar, only these incense. Also, what we saw is once a year. We saw that once a year, this altar needed to be purified. And I think it's a pretty amazing picture that I see. The altar, again, as we read here, was purified by the blood of atonement, the offering that was taken. This was not the altar. Again, this altar was not used for that. This was used for the incense. But the altar that was used, where the sacrifice was made, then would take that blood and it would come in and purify this altar once a year. And again, this was symbolizing, as you burn the incense, our prayers going to heaven. And it's interesting, as I was reading on this, and I like the correlation, they say that this, as it illustrates prayer, right? We know prayer itself does not atone for our sins, right? But through the blood of Jesus, through his crucifixion, our sins are atoned for, are paid for, and through his resurrection. And what's interesting here now in the Old Testament is this altar, this place where you would offer incense before the Lord, prayers before the Lord, needed to be once a year purified through the blood of the sacrifice. And so I find that pretty amazing for us. As we each come before the Lord daily, morning and night, and offer prayer before the Lord, right? That's what we should be doing each morning and night. But also, once in a while, it says here that this needed to be purified. It needed to be cleaned. It needed to once a year, and that was done through the blood of the sacrifice, which today we know we have Jesus, right? He's given us that. But it's a good reminder, too, just that we once in a while need to take a good examination and maybe a little cleaning, house cleaning, as I call it myself at times. We need to go through and examine our own lives, our own house, and purify our house, us, because we now are the temple, right? So I find it very amazing. Let's continue. We're going to cover a lot of scripture today. 11 through 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, whenever you take the census of the people of Israel, each man who is counted must pay a ransom for himself to the Lord. Then no plague will strike the people as you count them. Each person who is counted must give a small piece of silver as a sacred offering to the Lord. This payment is half a shekel based on the sanctuary shekel, which equals 20 gerahs. All who have had reached their 20th birthday must give this sacred offering to the Lord. When this offering is given to the Lord to purify your lives, making you right with him, the rich must not give more than the specified amount, and the poor must not give less. Receive this ransom money from the Israelites and use it for the care of the tabernacle. It will bring Israelites to the Lord's attention and will purify your lives. Now, this is interesting. I think many of us that are familiar with the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, we can recall different censuses taking place, even going, think about King David and all that took place there. And now, God here has instructed a census. And we'll see later, as we are going to get into Numbers later, there are two censuses that are recorded. But we see here in Exodus today that God is making a provision that a census can be taken without a plague or consequences happening. I mean, when you think about that, you're like, what's wrong with that initially? I mean, that's kind of the way I looked at it. What's wrong with counting the people? What's wrong with the census? A census, this counting, we should know, is looked at as a way to claim ownership of the people. One who does this census is saying they are claiming the people of Israel. These are my people. I'm taking a census. They belong to me. But we know it is God who these Israelites belong to. It is not the rulers or the leaders. Man himself, we see, did not actually have permission or the right to count or number those that belong to God. Only God could command such a census. So this kind is like, this is the way I think about this. I don't know if it's a good analogy or not. It's like someone trying to count the money in your wallet, right? Only that person the wallet belongs to should be counting it, because it belongs to that person, not the other person. For me, I give another analogy. I grew up in the West, in the U.S., cowboys, right? And lots of ranches where I grew up, cattle ranches. And one thing there that is culture is you never, ever ask a cowboy or a rancher how many cattle he has. I mean, maybe it sounds silly, but you never, ever do that. You never, how many cows you got? And you're like, now obviously he knows exactly how many cows he's got, but we don't ask that. What we see, again, is this would be like asking them, how much money do you have in your checking account? That's what it would just be like, because a cowboy, a rancher, his money is in the cows, right? Maybe he has some money in the bank, but we don't ask these things. That's his. They belong to him. And so, interesting. What we see here also as we read this, as it's using wording as ransom money. So this now offering, this payment that's seen here, is allowing the people of Israel as themselves to be given as an offering to the Lord. So the Lord now has provided through this the means to take a census, because they belong to him. And them offering themselves before him in this offering is showing ownership. So the census now is being commanded by God, not by the people. And I found this interesting and a application in this, a picture, as it was very specific that each person was required to do this themselves, right? Each person was required to do this themselves. And I see today the same, because they give this saying they belong to God, right? They're accounted to belong to God by giving this offering. It was all the same, no matter rich, poor, whatever it is. This is how much is the cost. Today, in our salvation, no one can pay for your salvation. Yeah? The cost is always the same for each one of us, right? I don't matter who you are, how much money you got, what you can, the cost is the same. The cost is Jesus on the cross. And for us, it's placing our faith in Jesus and calling upon him Lord. The requirements today are the same then. It's all the same for everyone. And each individual can offer themselves to be counted as one of God's family. Nobody can do that for you. You have to do that each individual. And I see that there. Let's continue. Let's look at 17 through 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a bronze wash basin with a bronze stand. Place it between the tabernacle and the altar and fill it with water. Aaron and his sons will wash their face, wash their hands and their feet in there. They must wash with water whenever they go into the tabernacle to appear before the Lord. And when they approach the altar to burn up their special gifts to the Lord, or they will die. They must always wash their hands and feet, or they will die. This is a permanent law for Aaron and his descendants to be observed from generation to generation. So now we have a wash basin. And I find it interesting here, unlike most of the other things, the dimensions and the specifics are not necessarily given to us. But it's interesting, we do see it's made out of bronze. And I think everyone here is familiar with bronze. What I did find interesting is, do you know one of the things in this time that bronze, that people used bronze to make? This is mirrors. In this time, most all the mirrors that you would use were actually polished bronze. And so as he's asking for this, it's said that this metal that was requested by God, this bronze to be used for this wash basin, likely came from the donations of the people of their mirrors that they used. And I find that interesting. And they say typically it probably likely was the ladies that had the mirrors. And this would have been a very prized possession in that time. I mean, it was not a common thing. And I was reading on this, and Guzik shared on this, and he said this. It was a wonderful thing for people to give up the measure of their own appearance for God's cleansing. I'll leave that up for a minute. You think about that. The very item that you would use to groom yourself, to see yourself, to make sure and look at yourself, now was being used for the basin that they would use then to purify and wash themselves before they came before God in the tabernacle. I think it's a neat picture, and I wanted to share it with you guys. So we see through this, anyone that was going to commune with God to go in must beforehand be washed before coming into his presence. And they did this through this wash basin. Now today, how is this done? Jesus, thank you. This is important. Today we have our mediator, Jesus Christ, and through him we are holy before a holy and righteous God. And so we see that picture now of that washing. Let's continue in 22 through 33. Then the Lord said to Moses, collect choice spices, 12.5 pounds of pure myrrh, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6.25 pounds of fragrant clematis, and 12.5 pounds of cassia, as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. Also, get 1 gallon of olive oil. Like a skilled incense maker, blend these ingredients to make a holy anointing oil. Use this sacred oil to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the wash basin with its stand. Consecrate them to make them absolute holy. After this, whatever touches them will also become holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons, consecrating them to serve me as priest, and say to the people of Israel, this holy anointing oil is reserved for me from generation to generation. It must never be used to anoint anyone else. You must never make a blend like it for yourselves. It is holy, and you must treat it as holy. Anyone who makes a blend like it or anoints someone other than a priest will be cut off from the community. Here we learn about anointing oil, right? You know, I have anointing oil right here, but this was very, very special anointing oil. And God had very specifically gave the ingredients that this oil was to be made from and used for. It was for anointing the priest and all the items within the tabernacle. This was a very special anointing oil, and he said very specifically it was never to be used for anything else. Now we know, I don't know, I mean, often oil is a picture of something throughout Scripture. It's a picture often of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon something. We see it through Scripture as oil is poured out for healing, for anointing, for commissioning. And as we see that, always the purpose of this anointing of oil, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is always the same, is to bring glory to God and to share the gospel. And it was never, especially we see here, this was never to be used for any other purpose except for the tabernacle, the priest, and to, that's it. And it's very, I found it very interesting, as even the picture today, as the anointing of the Holy Spirit is to be used for his works, not for our own works. We're going to go fast. We're going to continue 34 through 38. The incense. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather fragrant spices, resin droplets, mola shells, and gambam, and mix these fragrant spices with pure frankincense, weighed out in equal amounts. Using the usual techniques of the incense maker, blend the spices together and sprinkle them with salt to produce a pure and holy incense. Grind some of the mixture into a very fine powder and put it in front of the Ark of the Covenant, where I will meet with you in the tabernacle. You must treat this incense as most holy. Never use this formula to make the incense for yourselves. It is reserved for the Lord, and you must treat it as holy. Anyone who makes this incense like this for personal use will be cut off from the community. Now, as you read this, again, we see this incense, and we have a picture of that. Genevieve, yeah? Something like that. Then they would grind this, as we see, into a finer powder. But this is what they would burn and whatnot. And As I read this, we see again, just as before, that this incense was very specifically made for this purpose. And it has the same principles as the anointing oil, the same commands. It was very clear that this was not to be used for any other purpose besides in the tabernacle. It was never to be used to glorify a person. And again, we see and we remember the symbolism of the burning of incense as the smoke would raise up. The smell, it would be a sweet aroma. It would symbolize the sweetness of prayer. And God was very adamant here in Scripture to protect the tabernacle and its purpose And the anointing, he commanded that anyone that would use these things for purposes other than communing with God, purposes of the tabernacle, would be cut off. So he's very serious in warning this. Let's continue. Chapter 31. We're going to go through the first 11 verses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Ira, grandson of Hur, the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, given him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of craft. He is a master craftsman, expert working with gold, silver, and bronze. He's a skilled engraver and mounting gemstones and carving wood. He's a master at every craft. And I have personally appointed Oholibib, son of Elmashek, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given you special skill to all the gifted craftsmen so they can handle the things I've commanded you to make. The tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, and all the furnishings of the tabernacle. The table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessory, the incense altar, the altar of the burnt offering with all its utensils, the wash basin and its stand, the beautiful stitched garment, the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to wear as they ministered as priests, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense for the holy place. The craftsman must make everything as I have commanded you." I find this pretty amazing as we've gone through all these specific things, but and all these instructions, we see that God then chose individuals, people just like you and I, to come and serve to do the work that he's called them to do. But he didn't just call them. It says he filled them with the Spirit of God, blessing them with different giftings, it says. Wisdom, expertise. Just as he had chose Aaron and Moses, he is choosing others for very specific works that he's called them to do. He's chosen these others to serve him. And God had gone and chose these people individually and then equipped them through the outpouring of his Spirit, giving them skills, that all the things that they would need to accomplish the work he had called them to do. I find this really amazing. How true is this for us today? He outlines the work that's needed to be done. He gives every detail that was there. And we know as we see the details that were given as we've been looking at it, we know this is a model of what is in heaven and what each of us will witness one day when we go to heaven. But what's amazing to me, as he has called these specific people to do this work, he then blessed them and poured out his Spirit upon them to give them whatever they needed to accomplish that work. And I see the same today. Often we're like, how would I do that, Lord? Well, the Lord will pour out his Spirit and he will bless you and he will give you the gifts that you need to accomplish whatever he's called you to do. We see this in the Old Testament as the Spirit is poured out upon them, and we see this today, that God will provide what you need to accomplish his will through us, the church, often. Let's finish up and look at 12 through 18. Instructions for the Sabbath. The Lord then gave these instructions to Moses. "Tell the people of Israel, be careful to keep my Sabbath day, for the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you, from generation to generation. It is given so you may know that I am Lord who makes you holy. You must keep the Sabbath day, for it is a holy day for you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Anyone who works on that day will be cut off from the community. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day must be a Sabbath, a day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. The people of Israel must keep the Sabbath day by observing it from generation to generation. This is a covenant obligation for all time. It is a permanent sign of my covenant with the people of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and was refreshed. When the Lord finished speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave them the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant written by the finger of God. So after all these instructions that's been given for all the work that needed to take place, after pouring out his spirit, ordaining all these different people to complete this jobs that they had in front of them, God then gives instructions for the Sabbath. Even in all the work they needed and were commanded to do, each of us the same today, we still need to find rest. We're still to take rest. We need to be obedient even today to these instructions. But today, we have the new covenant. And our Sabbath is Jesus. And as we go, each of us, about all the work that we go about and that we're called to do, that the Lord has gifted us to do, we also follow this same example, that we need to rest. But we do that through spending time with Jesus. He is our Sabbath. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be in prayer. And, you know, we have, most of us on Sundays, we go to church. So we still need rest. Our Sabbath is in Jesus Christ today. But we still need a time of rest. And yes, there's a whole list of work God has for us, right? But he says all these things. Then he says, make sure and find rest. I think physically we need to also, but we know most importantly is we need to find that rest in Jesus and take some time in our week and just sit at his feet. And we're doing this midweek on a Wednesday. Sundays are great. Whatever the case is, it's not specific now to the day, but what it is important is that we do weekly, I believe, find time to be with Jesus. It's very important. In the closing of chapter 31, it closes up with, we know that God had spoke all these things to Moses and closed and gave all these instructions. But then we see he wrote down this covenant with his very hand, his finger, and now he would bring the written word of God to the people, which we'll continue with later. But I find this very interesting how he has not only spoke it, but he has written it. And we have an example of that today. So in closing, we have learned about the incense altar, the atonement money, the plans for the wash basin, the anointing oil, the incense, and all of these were used in the tabernacle to do the work that was they were called. We also learned about the people that were called to do the work and created all these items and their anointing. And as I've read through this, what I've noticed is that we serve a God of order, a God that has a very specific instruction and design. And also, as he's giving these very specific instructions, he's asking for obedience from his people. Again, we know each of these items have a specific place and purpose in the tabernacle. And through all of these, we can see a application for us today. And I'd like to look at each of these items and just see how we can apply this today. So the altar of incense, what can you learn about that that applies to us today? I see that we each must live a life of prayer. And just as we know, as the incense burned, it rose continually before God as a sweet aroma, we should also follow that example, that in our prayer life, we should maintain a consistent and constant communication with him and bring him praises, bringing our needs and interceding before God. It should be consistent and never ending. Pray without ceasing. What about atonement money? Right? This census, this offering. How does this apply today? Remember, Your life is valuable before God, but also it's accounted before God. He sees each one of us individually. We've seen in that, right? We're seen as individuals. He loves each one of us individually. And we then should respond to him and his mercy by worshiping him and also giving offering. The bronze basin. This one maybe is a little bit easier. What's the application maybe we could come up with today? Each of us, we need to keep a clean heart to be washed before God. Just as the priest would wash before the service, we also, each of us, should regularly examine ourselves and seek cleansing before through confession before God, to be humble and to repent as we each need also. The anointing oil. What about today? We each need to live a life that is set apart for God's work, for his purpose. We have been chosen. You have each been chosen. You've each has been anointed for a certain work. Let your actions reflect that calling that God has given you and anointed you for. You all have a purpose and are anointed for something. The incense, directly. We should be worshiping God with reverence, with purity. Remember, it was very specific. We shouldn't have our worship mixed with worldly things. He set that apart very specific for the worship of God and said, keep it holy. What about the workers that we saw that were then called to go do these things, to build these things, to create these things? Just as they were given the Holy Spirit and given special skills, certain talents, we all, through the outpouring of the Spirit, through God's calling on us individually, can be given talents and abilities and resources that should be used to build his kingdom, to do the work God has called us, whether it's in the church or work or school. Whatever it is, God has given you abilities and skills through the outpouring of the Spirit to serve him. The Sabbath. We learned about the Sabbath. It was speaking of the seventh day. I think it's simple. Each one of us needs to take time to rest, to reflect. Again, it's not so much about the day. It's about trusting God to stop and spend time with him. Meditate on his word. Be in prayer. And it helps if we would just take some time out and spend with Jesus. Sit at his feet. It can be through church, at home, but we all need, Jesus is our Sabbath. We need to spend time with him. Now we ended with the page keeps turning here. It says the two stone tablets of the covenant. That was our ending today. And I think what we see here is God's word is serious. He has given us commands, even in the New Testament. And these are the foundations that we see through his word for how we should live our life. And it's written with his own hand, with his own finger, it says here. This is given us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let his word instruct us, guide us. And let's make sure and be in the word so we know and are reminded of how we should be living. And that closes up for this week. Next week, we're going to see an unfortunate situation. Worship of the golden calf. After all this is taking place and we've learned all these things, we are prone to sin and to fall. But God's grace is always there and his mercy is always there. Let me pray. And we'll go to our food and fellowship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather tonight, Lord, on this Wednesday evening. Lord, I thank you for just a reminder, Lord, of your tabernacle and all the holy wilderness that was there, Lord, and all how you had prepared this place for your people to have communion with you, Lord, and the instructions that were given, and how even today, Lord, each of these things, they apply to us in different ways, Lord. They show us examples of how we're to live as Christians. So, Lord, I just ask that each one of us would even look at these and know that they are relevant to us today, and there's lessons to be learned from each of them that we can apply to our lives, and know, Lord, that you loved your people so much that you wanted to have a relationship with them, and that's why you've done all these things. So this afternoon, Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus, and all that he's done for each of us on the cross. And thank you for the new covenant that we have today through faith in you and the resurrection. And Lord, please bless our food and our time tonight and watch over all those that aren't with us tonight that are sick or are still trying to get here. So we ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.